This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. This is the first week in which Georgians can go online to compare and buy health care insurance policies under the Affordable Care Act, often called Obamacare. The biggest of the five companies offering coverage in the state is Blue Cross Blue Shield of Georgia. Morgan Kendrick is the company's president. In part one of our conversation, he answered questions about how the online marketplaces called exchanges are working so far. In part two, our focus shifted to what kinds of deals and costs consumers can expect. Let's talk about premiums for a moment. HHS, Health and Human Services, the federal Health and Human Services Department, says the premiums on the exchanges actually, at least they project, will turn out to be even lower than expected because of the competition. On Georgia's exchange, for example, I mean, the Atlanta region has 68 plans available, at least by our count. How much of your rates are decided by those competitive factors?
The fact that there is competitors, multiple competitors, really, quite honestly, is not a factor in how we've priced our rates. We've got the law that talks about geographic rating, age. We have a 3-to-1 age band where we currently have a broader age band. So those are all requirements.
Explain that a little bit.
Community rating.
Yeah.
Community rating
for
is
somebody not in the business, a 3-to-1 age band doesn't mean much.
The difference between the youngest age and the oldest age cannot be more than 3 times. Where today it is 5 times. Mm-hmm. So the net sum, the dollars received for that population or that block of business will not change. However, you're collapsing the rating bands, if you will, from an age perspective.
So the bottom line, I think I hear you saying, is it's not just competition. It's a lot of demographic factors.
Absolutely. That is what it is. I mean, because we've all filed rates. We all filed rates based on our starting point, our interpretation of the law. We've taken the appropriate measures, whether they be conservative or aggressive. Each person would make those independent decisions and price their products as such. So the fact that competitors would be lower than me or materially higher than me is not going to change my position on how we've priced our business. I mean, we began being covered under minimum loss ratios a year ago. So this is not new. There's nothing that behooves me to overprice and certainly not to underprice either. You want to peg this as closely as you can, understanding the game has changed a bit. And so therefore, the level of precision in which we have to price our business is certainly a little more intense.
But if more people than expected sign up, which is a possibility anyway, would your rates go down even more?
You know, if more people sign up, I mean, you look at your business again, and we have the exact same factors. I mean, you look at once the people sign up, it's okay, how does this population behave? This is a new population that's not insured today, so there's many elements that could manifest themselves that are different than the population that we all cover today in our insurance products. So it's the fact that we would have more is not going to necessarily drive a cost down specifically. Again, it's you can have a lot of it. That's one of the things about insurance business. I mean, the more you have, the lower the prices, and always the case.
If you have a bigger pool and the risk is diminished across that line, wouldn't your rates go down?
Yes, correct. If you have a bigger pool and the risk is diminished, correct. Mm-hmm.
That bigger pool might presumably come from younger, healthy people.
Could.
If they buy in.
Correct.
Have we seen any signs yet as to whether those folks are buying in or whether they're just deciding to skip the whole thing and pay the fine?
You know, that's going to be an interesting dynamic because clearly, you know, that's part of what we're looking at here. You know, when we collapse the age bands, as we talked about earlier, we know what our average rate increase is going to be simply as a result of converting to ACA, Accountable Care Act compliant benefit attributes, and then the effects of community rating and the age bands, et cetera. It's going to have a rate impact of a number, and then, of course, that's going to be an up or down number. So clearly, we've talked about it before. It's been mentioned in the press that the younger age groups, average age group plans, mm-hmm. as well as individuals, are going to see a higher increase than those that are of an older age. Mm-hmm. That's what the squeezing of the rate bands does. And so
it basically says the invincibles who sign up are probably going to pay more than they would, say, under an employer's plan, correct?
Correct. Yes.
In effect, helping bring the costs down for older folks.
For the whole. That is correct. That's the premise.
Do we know yet, in terms of demographics, where the bump, if it comes, will come from?
You know, we don't. I don't know. You know, we've got products of all levels, all metal levels, bronze, silver, and gold on the exchange for an individual consumer. And, you know, the attributes are pretty much prescribed. So we have to, you know, it'll depend on what they want to buy. I think we have products depending on where someone else someone also falls as it relates to a subsidy. Because depending on where you are and what subsidies you're eligible for, you know, that's certainly going to determine what your net cost out of your pocket is going to be to buy this product. So, you know, there's been many articles written about, you know, our organization, for one, where you have an average age of a 21-year-old male in the Atlanta market that's paying X today, and after ACA, they're going to pay Y, and Y is a bigger number. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is simply because the benefits under ACA are richer than the plans that many of these individuals have purchased today. So you've got a sweetening of the pot, if you will, from a perspective of the actual benefits that they will have under the plans.
Is it possible to say in a general way, if you are already covered under, say, your employer's plan, you're probably getting a better deal than you would get on the exchange, or can you make that generalization?
It's hard to make that generalization because I think it's going to be based on the individual circumstances of the individual and are they eligible for a subsidy.
So even people who might be covered under their employer's plan might want to at least check out the exchange.
They could take a look at it, absolutely. But if they've got, you know, minimum benefits is defined by the law under the employer plan, they would not then be eligible for a subsidy by the government. So they would have to make that determination personally.
A Kaiser News Health report found that Georgia has the widest swing in premiums between the regions, and the state's divided into 12 geographic regions, and each one has its own price. Why is that? Why do we have such a big swing?
I think healthcare is certainly very local. That's one thing that we know as a local organization operating in every county in the state. And the various rating regions today have disparity in what their rates look like. So certainly cost in certain parts of the market are very different than cost in other parts of the state.
Yeah, but why does Georgia have such big swings?
You know, I think there's a, you know, Georgia's unique to me. I mean, I look at, you know, we almost have the two Georgias. You've got the metropolitan Atlanta area and the 21-county metro market, and you've got all else. And when you get into certain other pockets of the state, the competition from the provider perspective is very different. And then you've got the acuity of illness, if you will, in certain pockets of the state that are different. So if you look at Atlanta as a whole versus, you know, there's been certainly comments around Southwest Georgia where we are the only player in that. I think it's geographic zone 15, 1 in 15 mm-hmm. in those markets where costs are higher. The idea is, you know, it's not simply exclusively driven by the fact that you've got, you know, less provider competition, but it's also around the acuity of the illness of the individuals in those markets.
Yeah, a $200 plan in Atlanta might cost someone – the same plan might cost someone in Georgia, Southwest Georgia, about $400. And as you mentioned, you're the only player in that region.
Right.
But you said earlier, look, competition is hardly the only factor here. So
right.
How can that be?
We're pricing our plans based on the provider cost in the community where the services are going to be delivered. So from that perspective, we're looking at what are the costs in Southwest Georgia today – and pricing our products to support what the costs are in that markets. It's not that, you know, I'm pricing a product that's two times more and then the Blues are going to make significantly more money on it. Again, going back to the fact that we're regulated to an 80% loss ratio, that would not serve me well at all. You would turn the market off. They wouldn't buy your products, and then you would return it in the form of rebates if indeed you've overpriced.
So if another player decided to get into that market, would your rates go down?
Right now, the rates that we price in that market would not change. Just like the rates in the Atlanta market did not change once we saw how competitors had filed their rates. Because there is disparity in the rates in the Atlanta market as well.
Do we know yet whether we're seeing only sick people sign up, or are we seeing those,
you know,
younger
is,
folks that everybody wants to bring in to spread the cost around actually take part?
We have not. We have not. Again, it is just so darn early. We have not seen, A, the uptake, who signed up for what products, and you know, so it's way too early. But that's certainly something we're eagerly interested in understanding because, of course, we'll be filing our 2015 rates sometime in the early spring time frame, which we will have very little activity or results on the 2014. So, of course, it's not quite as much of a shot in the dark, if you will, as to how you price your business based on this new law. But we'll have a little bit under our belt.
You have offered your existing customers a chance to renew or extend their current plans beyond until the end of next year.
Correct.
So are you hedging your bets for those folks that Obamacare won't work?
You know, I wouldn't say I'm hedging bets. I would say this is something that's not simply exclusive to the Blues. I've seen just about every competitor offer this, and it's an early renewal strategy in both the group and the individual business. And it allows people who might want to, who might really like what they have today, to renew it early and hold on to it for a 12-month period. I do, as I indicated earlier, believe the market will continue to kind of flex and bend, if you will, as it is things manifest themselves and sort of unveil themselves as to the buying behaviors of the public. To your point earlier, who's going to sign up? Is it going to be more of the young invincibles? Is it going to be more of an older average age and a sicker population? Those things are going to certainly allow us to sort of shift product, shift strategies around networks, things of that nature as this comes to play. And with those unknowns, those that have what they have today and like it have the opportunity to hang on to it for, you know, another 12 months.
Because a lot of those folks are the individual policyholders. They're not covered by a group.
That is correct.
They are the people who might be really helpful in spreading the risk and the cost around under Obamacare. So if those people stay out because they've been able to renew what they have, is that going to make it more difficult to get the cost down for everybody else?
Well, you know, I don't think that's going to have a significant effect on it, quite honestly. I mean, I think the issue is, if you look at the individual population today, these are people that have bought insurance today, regardless of what the cost is. So the high percentage of them are non-subsidy eligible individuals. So again, the exchanges are meant to be the biggest impetus behind it is to bring in this uninsured population that does not have insurance today and has not had means to buy insurance, coupling it with government subsidies. So these folks don't have government subsidies today, buy insurance based on a conscious choice, and the likelihood or the thinking would be, well, will these individuals be wanting to shop on the exchange? Of course, we have on-exchange and off-exchange strategies in the individual segment, as do our competitors.
Are you worried, though, about what will happen when the early year federal subsidies to help cushion the companies, too, go away?
Well, we've got the risk adjusters, which will come back to help cushion the companies based on who you actually attract into your population.
And then, of course, the risk adjusters are what?
They'll be the supplemental components that, you know, each of the carriers will be paying into. You know, we've got ACA fees and premium taxes that will be submitted to the government for all of us to help fund healthcare reform, which funds not only the subsidies but then provides risk adjusters to sort of smooth things out to keep carriers, to make them want to participate in the exchanges.
So are you concerned then that once the early year subsidies and inducements perhaps phase out, that we'll be stuck with bigger costs?
You know, I am not overly concerned about it. It's certainly a risk. I mean, you know, there are lots of different risks associated with this. But as far as a significant concern, right now we are focused on creating products that are sustainable, that are priced to attract individuals to our brand and to our product. And then, of course, we've got the appropriate medical management functionality behind the scenes to make sure we're managing this population, this new different population.
But once people sign up and they're on the exchange, and if Obamacare continues along and if some of those subsidies eventually go away, are people who signed up thinking, oh, my costs are going to be this, suddenly going to find out that they're substantially higher a few years down the road?
Certainly, if the government subsidy goes away, because an individual is making a buying decision based on the subsidy they're getting from the government, adding that to their own personal dollars, and the collective sum buys something. And then if the government subsidy goes away, of course, a big chunk of that money they're using. So, of course, their costs are going to be higher and it's going to require them to rethink that decision, which sort of takes you back to the position we have today with a large number of uninsured, or perhaps these individuals see real value in what they've bought and want to add more of their own dollars.
You've been in the business a long time. How long do you think it will be before we know whether this grand experiment is working?
You know, I don't know that we're going to know this very early, even in 14. I think this is going to be a while. This is a long process. I mean, there has not been this amount of change in our business, and certainly I've been in it, and I think since there has been a healthcare business. So I think this is going to be a 1-2 year minimum experiment before we start to see, you know, how is this really playing out? How do these numbers look? What's the health population look like? How are we managing this risk differently? So I think once we get into perhaps 16, we will have a little more clarity. Again, you know, we priced our 14 numbers back in spring, March of 13, 14 time, March, April time frame of this year. And think about what's changed since just March or April. And then if you look at, you know, we'll be filing for 15 in that same time frame in 14 with very, very little activity because, you know, we have a six-month enrollment window, which goes through March of 15, quite honestly, 14, quite honestly. So it's we will start seeing more clarity into this to see how the experiment's actually working. In 16, we'll be getting glimpses of it, in my opinion.
Morgan Kendrick is the president of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Georgia. Thanks so much for giving us this much time. We really appreciate it, and we'll be checking back with you.
Thanks, Dennis.